All right, if you've got a Bible tonight, Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Now I'm interested in verse 27. Mark 12, 27. He's not the God of the dead. Boy, I feel it coming, Robert. Amen. He's the God of the living. What's that talking about? Who is the living crowd? That's that crowd been to Calvary.
Yes, sir, brother.
Been given life. And that crowd ain't been to Calvary. They're dead, that book says. And trust, he ain't their God.
That's right.
If they've got a God, he's a God spelled with a little G.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, thank God, I moved one day out of that dead crowd and got to be part of that living crowd.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I've got a God tonight spelled with a capital G.
Yeah.
He's the God of the living. You do therefore greatly err. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You do therefore greatly err. Now that word err, E-R-R, appears 24 times in the Word of God. And I believe anything that God brings up that much deserves our attention. 24 times you'll find that word. It means to make a mistake, to err. Now if you don't make mistakes, you've got my permission, you can go ahead and go to sleep. But if you like me and make a bunch of mistakes, it behooves you to sit up and listen.
Right.
You do therefore greatly err. Notice that word greatly. I won't preach tonight on big mistakes. Now, some mistakes we make don't amount to a hill of beans. I mean, pick up a piece of cornbread instead of a biscuit, you'll still live. And you get over it. But there's some things you make a mistake about, boy, you'll pay a price.
Amen.
And I tell you what I figured out one day. Preacher, the fact when I make a mistake, normally it's because I underestimate something or somebody.
Amen.
Caused me to make that mistake. And we're notorious for that, underestimating something or underestimating somebody. I've got a nephew down Statesville, North Carolina. Two little old boys, they wouldn't know higher than that communion table. My youngins, my grandchildren, always call me Pappy. And them little old boys and Nathaniels call me Uncle Pappy. And little old tiny fellers. You remember in school when somebody would slip up and lay down behind you, then somebody come up front and give you a push. You was off balance and down you went. Who'd have thought them little old boys knowed how to do that? I mean, they wasn't that high. Old Simon, he got behind me and laid down. JP come up front and give me a push. I weighed at that time 255 pounds. It's like an elephant hit the ground, boy. Knocked the breath out of me. I underestimated them little old boys. And I got hurt. I'd have never thought in life that they knew how to do that. It wasn't big as nothing. And so, boy, I got to think about that and how that, boy, a lot of my mistakes is because I underestimate something. Now, I'm just going to jump in, go down deep, and come up wet. I hope you take a trip with me.
Amen.
Some big mistakes. I want to say, first of all, that man that underestimates the greatness of salvation has greatly erred. Did you know that God put salvation on a plane above creation? How do you know that, preacher? Well, you remember when God was creating everyone, what he said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. But how shall we escape if we neglect so good? Not just good, it's great.
Amen. Amen.
He put salvation up here on a plane above creation. Creation is good, but salvation's great, boy. You say, preacher, what makes it so great? First of all, because who's involved? I mean, the Father did the giving, the Son did the dying, and the Spirit of God did the introducing of him to you. All three of them, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost involved my salvation. And it's great because of who's involved. And then it's great because of what's involved. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It's going to dawn on us one day, church. What happened to us when we got saved? We're going to shout in spite of every imp in hell.
Right.
I'll guarantee you.
Amen.
We become a new creation.
Yeah, thank God.
Old things are passed away.
Thank you, Lord.
A realtor was selling an old wire house to a prospective buyer. And that realtor told him, said, "Now, sir, don't worry about these broken window panes. We'll replace every one of them. Don't worry about all this debris. We'll clean this place up." He said, "Hey, wait a minute. You don't understand. I don't want this old building. I'm going to tear it down. All I want's the site. And I'll build here what I want on the..." Ain't that exactly what God wanted with you? He didn't want that old man. He just wanted a site to put on that site, that new creation.
Amen.
Amen, that he wanted, didn't he? Yes, sir. What a God's blessing. And then it's great because of who's invited. Whosoever will, let him come. Thank God that included me.
Amen.
That included you. Whosoever will,
amen,
let him come. Did you know Jesus died for every man that's ever walked on earth? He died for every woman that ever walked on earth.
Amen.
Whosoever will, let him come. And so, boy, that man that underestimates the greatness of salvation has greatly erred. And then that man that has underestimated the power of Satan has greatly erred. He's a potent force. You don't want to take him on. He come knocking on my door, I send Jesus to the door. I can't handle him. He's too powerful for me. But how many people... I saw a little old 2x squirt preacher one day prancing back and forth across the platform, Robert. And here's what, "Come on, devil, I'll take you on.
Check.
Come on." I thought, boy, you ain't done business with him
That's right.
You ain't no match for him.
You're right, brother.
I heard about a prize fighter. First round was old bell rung, and he barely made it to the corner, sat on the stool. That trainer jumped all over him and said, "Listen, get in there and whip that guy." Said, "He ain't laid a glove on you." Said, "What's the matter? Well, get in there and whip that man." And he was about beat to death. He said, "You say you ain't laid a glove on me?" He said, "Somebody better watch that referee. Somebody in there beat me to death." Now I'm here to tell you, he'll beat you to death.
You're right, brother.
You ain't no match for him. Buddy, you better seek Jesus on him.
Amen.
And he comes in your territory. I've seen what he can do to people. I preached revival, Brother Robert, for a man, a young preacher. I don't know, Lonnie, 25, 30 years ago. I preached about 5 meetings for him. The church got on his case to quit his job and take the church full time. I advised him against it because I said, "Hey, preacher, I preached enough in this area, in this county, to know there ain't no other church around here can afford a full-time preacher right now. And if they decide they don't want you, then what are you going to do?" I said, "I wouldn't quit my job." I'll never forget what he told me, Gary. He said, "Preacher Bob, I'll retire right there." I said, "I believe I'll do it." And that boy quit. He had about 10 or 12 years seniority. And he quit his job and took that church full time. Less than a year, they come to him and said, "Preacher, you've been here long enough. We think it's time for you to move on." He had no mother or daddy. He had nobody to support him. He couldn't handle it. He quit church, got away from God. They talked about him like a dog accused him of stuff he wasn't guilty of, trying to clear their self to make people think they're justified in getting rid of him. I didn't believe a word of it, and this man right here didn't believe a word of it. We knew him. I took him to Jamaica. I had so much confidence in him, Robert. I was trying my best to get him to the point that he could take me into Jamaica when I wasn't able no more. He's half my age. Time went on. Everybody talked about him. Everybody in that country, you know, seemingly believed him, except me and Lonnie Pelfrey. We felt like we knew him good enough that he wasn't guilty of that, what they accused him of. And I told Lonnie one day on the phone, I said, Lonnie, everybody's talked about him. I won't talk to him. Find him. I said, I know it ain't going to be easy, but I want you to find him. Hey, when I was down here 2 or 3 weeks ago, Lonnie had found him. He said, I'll come by and get you tomorrow, and we'll go down right in the middle of Chattanooga, the old town of Chattanooga. You're working at a little old restaurant, going on 6 o'clock in the morning, working till 12 o'clock in the day. Lonnie said, I found out we can get to talk to him about 12 o'clock. We'll be there. We was there. He came out. He's 55-year-old now, and he looked like he is 80. He got no car, got no driver's license. He lost his wife. He had 2 beautiful little girls. He lost his girls. Lost his home. Lost everything he had. 55-year-old now, and looks like he's 80. And I said, son, I know they've talked about you like a dog. And I said, I want you to look at 2 men right here that don't believe a word of it. And I'm tired of people talking about you. I won't talk to you. And I said, what I want to know, are you right with God? He looked me right in the eye and he said, yeah, preacher, if I died right now, go to heaven. I'm right with God. And he said, I'm going to get back in church. I said, that's what I want to hear, boy.
Yeah.
But I stood there and looked at that 55-year-old man, and I saw a picture of what the devil can do to a man. And, buddy, I got mad at the devil. I mean, he tried to take me to hell. That's enough to be aggravated at him over, ain't it? But I looked at that preacher, and I saw firsthand, Robert, what Satan can do to a man. And boy, me and Lonnie talked coming back up the road about that. How glad that we was able to find him. Got to hear him say he's right with God, yeah, and he's going to heaven. Because
yeah.
The devil robbed him of everything he had. I've got tapes, old cassette tapes, out of that meeting I preached for that boy. You could hear him a shouting and a hollering above the crowd and what he was at once time for God and what the devil done to him.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, folk, that man that underestimates the power of Satan has greatly erred. Yes, sir. And in that man that has underestimated the preciousness of a soul has greatly erred. My God, you can't put a price on a soul. How precious. And that individual that underestimated how precious a soul has greatly erred. Did you ever stop and think about what makes something valuable? Durability, for one thing, something will last. Something don't last ain't worth nothing. That's the reason I don't put no 200-300 tread wire tires on my car. That mountain where I live eat them up in 2 months, Gary. I won't put nothing less than a 700-800 tread wire tire, Carol, on my car. Because they're durable. They'll last. Well, that's one thing makes... How long's a soul going to last? Go somewhere and be somebody just as long as the ages roll, man. Durable. Not only that, but what about the potentiality of something makes it valuable? What it's capable of becoming. That's why I'm so cautious, boy, when I'm in the pulpit. Look out and see these boys. And for all I know, right there's a young man God's going to use. They've got the potential of becoming that preacher that'll turn America back to God.
Yeah.
And boy, you talk about a responsibility, Carol. I feel a responsibility. Realize some of them little old boys may be the very one God will use to turn this nation back to God one day. I mean, we don't know what these little old young'uns going to grow up to be. There's great potential there. Missionary, who knows? My God. The potential that's in these little children. And boy, that man, that woman, that underestimates the preciousness of a soul, they done greatly erred, preacher. Yes, sir. And And then what about the rarity of something makes it valuable? These coins, these baseball cards that these fellows collect, they got one of a kind, buddy, that's worth something. Some of these old coins are worth because of their rarity. I'm going to tell you something you probably didn't know. You're one of a kind.
Amen.
You ain't no copy. Carol Anderson, you're one of a kind. Never was another, won't never be another. You're one of a kind. You're rare. Amen. God knows that. Lonnie, you're one of a kind. Ain't you glad, Denise, that he... Gary, you're one of a kind. Gail, ain't you glad? You ain't no copy. You're the only one. Boy, that makes something valuable, don't it? Rarity. And so that individual that underestimates the preciousness of a soul has greatly erred. And then what about that individual that underestimates the person of the Savior? You know why you worry? You know where your worries stem from? Underestimating the Savior. Underestimating what Jesus can do, preacher. Causes us to worry. Lord God, we'll be shouting on what he's going to do. I walked into a yard 40 years ago in Unicor, Tennessee. I still remember the man's name, Ron Kazar. He's from the island of Malta. And he's shouting all over that yard. I said, brother, tell me about it and I'll help. He said, that car is sitting there. It won't run. And I got to have it in the morning. And God knows I've got to have it in the morning. And he said, I'm excited to death over who God's going to send by and fix it. And he's shouting and praising God. And boy, that's the attitude we ought to have, amen. Amen. We underestimate what Jesus can do about it. Hallelujah. We just go ahead and shout it out and have us a spell. Boy, over what he's going to do and take care of it. And you talk about the impact on somebody else. You talk about thinking we're crazy then. Yes, sir. And so we worry needlessly.
You're right.
Underestimating the person of the Savior. Never been another like him. Hey, the stake couldn't crush him. Herod wanted him dead. Had a baby killing. Did it ever dawn on you before every great event in that book they had a baby killing?
Yeah.
I mean, in Pharaoh's day, they killed the babies. When Jesus came into Bethlehem, they had a baby killing.
Yep.
My God, they're killing more babies now than they did then. Something big's about to happen. I know what's going to take place.
Yeah.
Trumpet's going to sound, voice of the archangel, and look out, devil, I'm going home, buddy. Hallelujah, something big's about to happen. Thank God, buddy, they ain't killing all these babies for nothing. No, sir. And boy, Herod wanted him dead. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 2 and verse 19. Herod is D-E-A-D. He wanted to crush him. But he's dead, and Jesus is headed for Jerusalem.
Yep.
He'll still be around. Thank God when the last of his enemies is D-E-A-D and in hell. He'll still be around.
Yep.
A blessing. Right. His crowd, won't he? The state tried to crush him. Satan tried to corrupt him on the Mount of Transfiguration. You who you say they are, speak to these stones that they become bread. Man shall not, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone.
Anybody.
Had him yonder pentacle jump. Jesus said, as it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Yeah.
I found out something about the devil. He's powerful. But he ain't got a lick of patience. You can outlast him. Just quote the word of God.
Right,
he'll flee. I mean, I can hear him say, if that's all I'm going to hear out of him, I'm out of here. But he left Jesus there, didn't he? You give him the word of God, he'll do the same for you.
Right.
He ain't got a lick of patience. He'll flee from you, but you give him the word of God. And so the state wanted to crush Satan, wanted to corrupt him. Sickness couldn't contaminate him. Remember Simon Peter's house? Jesus went into Simon Peter's house, and his wife's mother was laid. Bible said sick of a fever. Now, when the fever's on, that's when it's contagious. Anybody here in the medical profession tell you that? When you're fevered, you're contagious. But Jesus took her by the hand, raised her up. She arose, the Bible said, and ministered to them. You know what I believe that means? I believe she went to the kitchen, got supper.
Yep.
I thought about it this way. He fixed her up. He got her up, and he kept her up. I don't know how I say it quite as I do, preacher. He done the same for me, preacher.
That's right.
He fixed me up.
Yeah.
Got me up, and he keeps me up.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Hallelujah. He wasn't afraid to. Listen, what she had wasn't going to rub off on him.
That's right.
What he had rubbed off on her. That's what happened to me. I'd mean, wicked, corrupt. Amen. Contaminated. But boy, I had a rubbing experience with Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
I preached on the line of the tribe of Judah. And I did my homework. I watched some of these documentaries on old lines and read stuff, you know. You ever see an old lion? He's out there in the woods rubbing. I always thought they're scratching. No, sir. They're marking their territory. Yeah. He's saying, this is mine. You let it alone. You stay out of here. Lord God, I had a rubbing experience with the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. I've been marked as his territory, buddy. Hallelujah. And boy, what he had rubbed off on that one, she got up and fixed supper, I believe, for him. Yes, sir. Sickness couldn't contaminate him. Steak couldn't crush him. And then listen, the sepulcher couldn't hold him. Couldn't contain him.
Amen. Amen, brother.
He didn't stay dead, did he, girl? Hallelujah. I've often thought about it. I said I could hear old Death say, get out of here, devil. You're an insult to my power. Nobody ever got out of my grip, but Satan's worried. He'd heard him say things like, tear this temple down.
Yeah.
3 days, I'll raise it up. He's a worried devil.
Amen.
Snooping around that tomb. Death said, get out of here, devil. You're an insult to my power. Long about the third day morning.
Come on, brother.
I can hear Death a hollering, you better get out of here, devil.
Amen.
He's getting out of my grip. I can't hold him.
Yeah.
Now, you try to kill somebody and succeed, and they don't stay dead, you got a problem.
You're right, brother.
Huh? Hey, everywhere you look there sometimes, you find the old devil a-bragging. Check out Resurrection Morning. You don't find no bragging
that's
devil.
That's right.
He's out of town.
That's right, brother.
No bragging devil on Resurrection Morning, buddy. No, sir. Thank God, the sepulcher couldn't contain
him. Thank you, Lord.
Couldn't hold him. Thank God, and that same Jesus is coming again.
Yeah, you're right.
Any day, I may not make it back to Beulahdine. That's all right.
That's right.
I had a son-in-law die just about this time last year. Been about a year and 2 weeks maybe ago, Herman died. And since Herman died, my daughter, Beth, she got one thing on her mind. The rapture. She's looking for Jesus. And boy, she lives it. I mean, she's read that book I gave you, Robert, two or three times. And she'll email me and comment on something she's read in it. She's looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
Constantly looking for the Lord. She's got a boy, 20-year-old. He's a sophomore at Appalachian State up in Boone. She's got a boy, 17? Senior in high school down there in Valdez, North Carolina. You know what them boys told her mama? They said, Mama, we don't have to worry about no men trying to court you, because said you'd run them nuts talking about Jesus coming. And that's the God's truth. That girl lives it, buddy.
Praise God.
Thank God he's a coming, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
You're going to stay gone, Gary. Hallelujah. What a God's blessing. And that man that underestimates the power of Satan greatly erred. And the one that underestimates the person of the Savior. Hey, what's going on in your life tonight? Got you a tad worried, maybe. Ain't it good you can walk out them doors and leave your worries behind? Realizing what Jesus can do. Thank God in your life, mine. Hallelujah. What a God's blessing. A little old boy went home with a friend one evening from school. He got home and his parents had been called away, that friend's parents, caused a sickness in the family. They was there in the house by themselves, and it came a violent storm outside, and them little old boys scared to death. That little old visiting boy would go to the window every once in a while and look out, scared to death of that storm. And a little while he saw a lantern coming. After a while, the door opened, and his elder brother stepped inside with that lantern. He said, "Little brother, I knew you'd be afraid. I come to take you home." Hey, boy, this whole world be a scary place. But I've got my elder brother by the hand, and I'm headed home.
Amen.
And any day now, I'll make it on home. Thank God. And I'm going to know how to act when I get home, church. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Boy, you talk about the guilt trip. God put me on one lately. I read in Philippians 4:4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I looked at that and did it. I wouldn't have said it like that. He said, "Always." We'd have said always. Let me ask, how many ways are there anyway? God got it right, didn't he? Always. And old Paul started to put the pen down. God said, "Wait a minute. That old tent maker from Tarshish picked it up again. And again, I say rejoice." He said, "Hey, somebody didn't get it the first time. Tell them again. Rejoice in the Lord always."
Amen.
Hey, it's hard to rejoice and be worried at the same time.
You're
ain't
right.
Well, it was one of them kind of days for me, you know. And I said, "God, I'm as honest as I know how to be. I don't see much to rejoice over right now." He took me to 1 Peter in the first chapter and rubbed my nose in three verses and made me ashamed of myself. Verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us unto a lively hope."
Amen.
He said, "You got hope, ain't you?" Boy, that's more than a lot of people got. That's enough shout over. I'm glad I can go to old Roselawn Cemetery and run around my mom and daddy's grave and sing, "I'll meet you in the morning." By the bright river side when old Sarda had drifted away. I've got hope tonight, thank God. Verse 4, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. For God said, "You got a home, not only hope, but you got a home." And boy, I know how to act when I get home. People tell me, "Just make yourself at home." You can't do that. I got to be at home to make myself at home, buddy. I don't even feel good going to my youngin's refrigerator and making me a jelly sandwich. It ain't the same, is it? Something I never have figured out. All three of them, Carol's got a key to my house. But I ain't got a key to one of their houses. They come to my and Carolyn's house, go in, raid our refrigerator, lay in my bed, watch my television. I ain't even got a key to their house. I can't figure that out. I just can't make myself at home, not even in their house. I was preaching for a little old fellow in Williston, South Carolina. He said, "Now, Brother Bob, you may not want to come." He said, "There ain't a motel in this country, miles and miles." And he said, "You'll have to stay with me." Well, I said, "If you can live in it, I can too." Went home that first night, Carol, and he said, "Just make yourself at home." I didn't know no better than to try. I went over to his couch. kicked my boots off and stretched out on his couch. He had a little old boy there, about 4 or 5 year old, come run by, grabbed him by the arm. I said, "Hey, Randy, go in there and get me a Pepsi." Where I was laying, I could hear what he told his mama when he went around the corner. He said, "Mama, Bob ain't been here 5 minutes, and he already knows how to get stuff. But you can't make yourself at home. But boy, I'm headed home, and I'm going to know how to act. I won't need no instruction." Thank God. God said, "Hey, preacher, you've got hope. You've got a home." And then there's verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God." And boy, I felt ashamed of myself. Thank God, listen. I felt like rejoicing. Yes, sir, by the power of... You know how I'm standing here before you tonight? You think I'm standing here and draw out of my own well? They ain't no earthly way by the power of God. Hallelujah. There's a boy preacher. Karen accused me of preaching Iron Hafe them days. I don't think I did, but I'd give him everything, you know. And then I got to think, I better save something for next time. So I tried that a while, Robert. But I found out if I'd tell him everything God give me, he'd have me something next time.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Somebody asked me here a while back, said, "Do you know Chad Wise?" I said, "Know him. I trained him. He's like a little Bob. And he preaches Iron Hafe." And I've told him and told him. I said, "Boy, they'll pay you as much to preach a Hafe as they will Iron Hafe. And like you a whole lot better." And I said, "My mama didn't raise no dummy." "Yes, sir, Garrett. He don't preach no Iron Hafe, does he, Gale?" He learned that early in life. Yes, sir. Greatly erred. Big mistake. That man that underestimates the person of the Savior, the power of the devil, of Satan, preciousness of a soul, or the greatness of salvation, he's made a big mistake. I preached somebody tonight, needs to get around this old altar, turn that situation over to the Lord. That and it's able to take care of it and quit worrying about it. Go home, pillow your head and sleep like a baby. Having given it to God, while we stand right now, where's my piano player? Come here, honey, and play for me tonight. Something of invitation. I don't know how God's speaking to you. I don't know what he's saying to your individual heart. But if he is, it's your invitation. While she plays right now for me, if God's speaking to your heart, it's your invitation. Come on to Jesus. You may be from this church, some other church, or affiliated with no church. God bless you, honey. God bless you, girls. Amen for your honesty tonight. Hey, that book says obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on to Jesus. You won't ever regret it. You won't ever be sorry. Hey. You don't have to let the devil push you around. Jesus can take care of him. He can get him off your case.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, if you just ask him to. I don't know how God's talking to you. It may not even be a personal need with you tonight, but the need of another. Somebody you love and hold dear and near to your heart. But you know full well her word's sick over something tonight. And you'd just like to come call her name. Ask the good Lord to help them. Boy, I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. Boy, when I was out in the world, God's holding that face before you right now, and you just feel compelled to come and remember them tonight. Come on to Jesus. You'll never regret it. You'll never be sorry. Hey, they anything a bugging you tonight, don't underestimate the person of the Savior. Now you can leave and go out those doors tonight and out into the night and let it keep on a bugging you. God bless you, honey. Or you can get around this old altar this evening and turn it over to God. Bring it to Jesus. God bless you, ladies. God bless you, honey, minding God tonight. Preacher Bob, don't know about nothing in the house, but I know God's speaking to my heart. Come on to Jesus. God loves you. You know how much He loves you? Enough to come out of heaven's glory. Lay aside a golden crown, a royal scepter. Step over the embattlements of heaven. Come into this old world by the way of an old barn door and go out by the way of an old rugged cross to keep you out of hell. You say, preacher, I'm feeling kind of grateful. Why don't you come tell Jesus? He'll bless your soul. He'll bless your heart. Been all too long, maybe, since you did. Boy, I've often thought about old Abraham and Isaac yonder on that mountain. Boy, God furnished a lamb, didn't He? And the ram caught in the thicket. And boy, you talk about a meeting. I believe they had a meeting. After a while, I hear old Abraham say, son, we better get on home. Mom will have supper. I hear old Isaac say, go ahead, daddy. Something I got to do. I can see him get around that old altar, boy. That smoke curling upward. And I can hear him say, thank you, lamb, for what you did for me today. Thank you, lamb, for taking my place. I preached to somebody tonight. It's been all too long since you found you an old altar and said, thank you, lamb, for taking my place. Thank you, lamb, for dying for me. Thank you, lamb, for keeping me out of hell. Amen. You stand back and think, what'll people think about me if I do that? What's God going to think about you if He's asking you to and you won't do it? It messes with my mind, church, to think what a meeting we could have if it wasn't for old hellish pride. My God, I'm satisfied I wouldn't preach half the time if it wasn't for old hellish pride. People have shouted out and praised and glorified God and thank God, amen, for what He's done for them right lately. Hey, I hear people testify all the time thanking God over what He did 20, 25, 30 years ago. Lord God, I don't have to go back any further today to have something to thank God over, buddy. To be appreciative. God bless you, folks, for your honesty. God bless you. Preacher Bobby, speaking to my heart, come on to Jesus, would you? I ain't inviting you to Emory Gap Church. I ain't inviting you to Preacher Bob McCurry, Robert Vance. I'm inviting you to Jesus. One that cared enough about you to shoulder an old cross. Boy, they some people, you know, they'd like to portray Him as some kind of a sissy, a weakling. Lord God, they kept Him up all night. He's still man enough come morning to pick up that old cross and carry it up Calvary's mountain.
Yes.
They tried to get Him down so they could ridicule Him. That old Simon, you know, to pick up that cross, Now, when he picked up the end of that cross, where'd that throw the weight?
Yeah.
Right up on Jesus. They're trying to get him down. But thank God there wasn't enough trees this side of hell to get him down. He's going to Calvary, buddy, to keep me out of hell, to keep you out of hell.
Yes, thank you,
Lord. I preached at a church, Red Hill, Robert Baptist Church, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There's an old preacher there. I was there 21 nights. And for 21 nights, old preacher Frank Parsons didn't sit down. He walked the floor. You know what is a hollering? What a Jesus. What a Jesus. Somewhere on Hallelujah Avenue and Glory Boulevard tonight, I've got a friend running up and down the hollering, what a Jesus. What a Jesus. Boy, you think we ain't got a story to tell. Amen. Church, when we get thankful enough, we'll have revival. It'll be a byproduct, preacher. I'll guarantee you. Thank you for hearing me. My kind of crowd.